Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to take some questions. If you have any question concerning your spiritual life, concerning scripture, doctrines, and especially the things we teach in this ministry, then you ask. We allow these questions not to prove that we know. No. But we want to be sure that people understand what we are saying. And remember that we are part of the restoration ministry. And remember that the restoration ministry, you don't talk of restoration until there is a fall away. And the process of restoring, especially in this apostate age, is going to be very, very difficult. There are a lot of things we say, they are in the Bible, but when we are repeating what the Bible says, we look strange. Because the people's faith have been taken far from the Bible. But God sent us a message to bring us back to the Bible. And so anything you want to judge what we are saying here by, judge us by the scripture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I said a few things the past weeks, especially concerning the fivefold ministry and particularly concerning the apostolic office. And of course, when I spoke that, I was expecting reactions. I was expecting reactions from all over the world. Because that particular error also has taken so much root that it will take the grace of God for people to know what the Bible stands concerning that office. The office of the apostle. Amen. And so, I got this from a comment somebody, I don't know where you watched us from. I got it this afternoon from you listen to us from the YouTube. Your name is Joshua. I hear you. Joshua. And I hope that you are hearing me now, or you will hear it, because we shall put it back on the YouTube so that you can see it there. And this is what you said. This is from Joshua. I hear you. Let me read it and then I will answer him. It was interesting when I had this message about no more apostle in this current era apart from Bible days. It would be good to have some quotes from the prophet of the age concerning the topic so that we would be edified. And this is quote number one. This is from William Branham. God never intended the church to be run by men. God runs his church and he runs it through gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is in the church to correct the Spirit. He's got five ministerial offices in his church. First of them is apostle or missionaries. Missionary is the highest calling there is. Apostle. The word missionary means one sent. Apostle means one sent. Why they ever chose to become missionary, I don't know. But they are apostles. Alright? Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Now, that's the elected offices of God to his church. Then in each local church, there's nine spiritual gifts that come among the people. That is knowledge, wisdom, gift of healing, working of miracles, speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues. And all these things go in each local body. And every person in the church has an individual ministry. And that individual ministry goes together with the rest of the ministry to edify the body of Jesus Christ. Unquote. And Brother Joshua preached that quote from the message William Branham preached in 1960 title at the Semenian Church Age. Now another quote now. Will the bride of, in answering a question, they asked William Branham this question, will the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? And William Branham answered, sure, that's what's going on right now in 1960. That was in 1963. He was answering it in 1963. See, the bride of Christ, certainly, it is the message of the hour. See, the bride of Christ, sure, she consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? That's the bride of Christ. Sure, she's got a ministry, great ministry. It's the ministry of the hour. It will be so humble. Unquote. It's a question and answer on the seals. And it's a question number 22, and it was preached in Jeffersonville in 1963. Another quote, Brother Joshua is quoting. And then we find out the apostle is a special man. He's a set in order. He's a setter in order. He's a man that is sent from God to set the things in order. And that, unquote, that he quoted from Warning. The message William Branham preached that he titled Warning, Then Judgment. And that was preached also in 1963. Now, another quote. A word apostle means one that is sent. I've often wondered why the missionary ever wanted to be called a missionary. A missionary is an apostle. The word missionary means one sent. Apostle means one sent. A missionary is an apostle. He quoted from the message titled, William Branham titled the message, Position in Christ. Preached by William Branham in 1955. So, Brother Joshua adds, as his last statement here, he said, so, why would the revelation of Pastor Moses Alu contradict that of the prophet of the age? Praise God. Brother Joshua, I want to answer you. Praise the Lord. Number one, in all that you answered me, you did not take me to the Bible. You did not quote the Bible. You are quoting William Branham. That means William Branham is your absolute, not the Bible. You see? And these are the kind of things that have infiltrated the entire message. When they want to establish their errors, they will harass you with the quotes of messages preached by William Branham. Amen. But our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last. As we victorious are, we are chained down in the fire. To jubilee. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not talking to only those of you sitting down here. I'm talking to all of them. Listen. Praise the Lord. And listen very well. For those who want the truth. First and foremost, we are talking about leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ. So it is not a local assembly. It is the bride of Jesus Christ worldwide. The leadership offices. You have to understand that. And because and God is so wonderful. And Satan is so smart. I have often wondered that we have 7 church ages. Every age had a messenger for that age that led the children, the bride of Christ, for that age. But listen, we have the first church age, second church age, and they are angels, messengers. Do you know that nobody in all church history, nobody spoke about anything about the star messenger until we came to this age? God himself made sure he did not let them know what was happening until he kept a scripture, Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, it means there was voice of the first angel, there was the voice of the second angel, the third angel, the fourth angel, the fifth angel, and the sixth angel. They had a voice, but nobody knew that it was the voice of God. They were just following guru guru guru. Therefore, because it was not revealed, God was just moving, there was nothing for Satan to send carnal people to impersonate. Until the last age, when he has finished his work, then he exposed it. And as soon as William Branham came with that revelation that this is the last church age, with the last messenger, then, before you know what, carnal people started. I am the eighth messenger. Why were we not hearing about messengers before? After William Branham left, I am the next person. And they will use scripture, and you know, anything you say, you know, there will be followers. Anything, there will be followers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Before you know what, another teaching came up. If William Branham has gone, if William Branham is a type, listen, if William Branham, okay, because of a lot of statements William Branham made, we have three groups of people with that apostolic office because of such quotes like Brother Joshua from wherever you sent that from. Because of such quotes, we have three groups of people now. One are those that says, since apostle is a man that says things in order. So, their ministry is to go from church to church, setting the church in order. You know what they do? I've belonged with them. Our pastor will announce to us, the big man is coming. When he's coming to the pulpit, he comes with a bag, Ghana Must Go bag, full of sermon books of William Branham. Then he's sitting down there. William Branham said this in the message he preached in 1964. This one, paragraph this, he will bring it and open it. He will finish there for the number of days, speaking all the grammar. Then he has come to set this church in order. So, what is your name? I am Apostle Nwoke. Okay? Then we are moving. Praise the Lord. So, we have them. They jump from place to place. They are called apostles. In the entire message, follow us. Come. I am talking about the entire message. I'm not talking about those dead people. I'm not talking about those Sele apostles. and those Pentecostal apostles who say they are apostles running, claiming titles. I'm talking about those who saw the light of God that was shown to us in this age, indicated and vindicated by that pillar of fire through the ministry of William Branham, that we saw something and we came out of the denominational system. In that following, that is what I am talking about. And the ones that gathered there are creating all manner of confusion. And so, the second group, they say apostle is the one that goes up and down establishing churches. So they stay and then they will go to Umahia and establish one. Go to Sokoto, establish one. They go to why Akwanga? And so they are apostles because they have gone to so many places and have established churches. So they are apostles. And then the third group that says that they are the light bearers. That one is more complex. That group gathers more a group of intellectuals, because this is where they find it. They say that there are things that Jesus Christ did not teach, but Apostle Paul brought out. That is more revelation to what Jesus spoke. So he holds the light of revelation. Now, when also now, the same thing now, we are in the end time message. If William Branham ministry is a type of the messianic ministry, a ministry for another exodus, then it will also produce the fivefold ministry. We all taught it like that before. I am correcting, including myself now. My old message, you will hear me talking like that. But God in his infinite mercy has come to correct all of us. So listen to me. Myself, I teach like that before. Okay. Therefore, now, William Branham died. He brought a message, therefore, there will be a fivefold ministry. Then, so, now, like Apostle Paul, there is a man called Raymond Jackson. And he too now, there are things that William Branham, revelation that William Branham didn't teach. But Raymond Jackson brought it out. So he has become an apostle. Raymond Jackson never called himself an apostle. It is his followers that made him not just ordinary apostle, but chief apostle. And the reason why they call him chief apostle, those proponents of that office, is because they were making room. If there is a chief, then there will be some other ones. You know? Okay? Now that Raymond Jackson has passed on, now, who again will have take that office of the chief apostle? So, if what makes Raymond Jackson an apostle in this entire message is the fact that there were some revelations that he got that William Branham did not get or did not teach. So, now that Raymond Jackson is gone, so a man now is busy searching for a sermon that he will preach that Raymond Jackson didn't preach. So once he got one, two, then he now said there is the continuity of revelation, continuity of the offices. There must be somebody that will hold the light any other time. And unless you recognize him, you can never be in the rapture. Therefore, he is an apostle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These are the three categories of people. Now, for my brother Joshua, let me quickly answer you. Praise the Lord. You have to first and foremost understand the ministry of William Marion Branham. A lot of followers of that ministry understand nothing about his ministry, other than the normal gentle attitude of idolizing anybody with a supernatural manifestation around him. William Branham, his ministry is not about the man William Branham, but about the ministry. What is his ministry? We trace his ministry to the Bible. And it's a fulfillment of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Can we read it again for emphasis? I want to bring out something from there. Malachi chapter 4. Hallelujah. Behold, take note that scriptures are inspirationally arranged. is the last prophet in the Old Testament. The last prophecy he gave recorded in the last chapter and in the last verse. Talking about something that will close a matter. He said it this way, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will do two things. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And I preach a message that I titled "Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth." And how that there are some scriptures, although it is written one verse, but just one word of either "and" or "but." We separate those two statements and also let you know that they are going to be fulfilled in two different periods, some of them 1,000 years apart. I will try to bring them out. Now, this verse, "I will send Elijah." And in Matthew chapter 11, concerning the coming of Elijah, Jesus Christ said that John the Baptist is that Elijah that is to come. He said so. But here we are also that as in 1933, a man rose up with a ministry that was vindicated beyond all measures for everybody to say, "God is with this man." And by the riverside, he was baptizing people. And a light, like a star, before hundreds of people by the riverside, Ohio River, there in America. And then the light came before their eyes and stood. It is a place of tourists up till now. Once you travel to America, thousands of people go to the river. Is this where the thing happened? I went there too. I saw it. Is this the place? And then a voice spoke to the hearing of people as John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming. So are you given the message that shall forerun my second coming. And everybody had it. And they were running and falling themselves. They have not seen that type of thing before. Now, if John the Baptist was sent to forerun his first coming, you discover that it means that if John the Baptist had a ministry that will forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ, he was to come by with an anointing, and it will be an Elijah anointing. Now, the second coming also will also be the same Elijah anointing that will come on a man. The same pattern. But now watch it. Because I have tried to read it in Luke chapter 1, where the angel was given the message, the prophecy concerning John the Baptist, and he only quoted and reached the verse of the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4, where he said, and that, let's read it. People, they look at me like, say, are they? Luke chapter 1. Concerning John the Baptist, verse 15. "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." And verse 17, he was quoting Malachi chapter 4. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." To do what? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But that verse, verse 6, Malachi chapter 4, that verse says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. But there is and. The heart of the children to their fathers. John the Baptist, his own was to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And there is another Elijah that will come to fulfill the second part. To turn the heart of the children to the fathers. How? Who are the fathers and who are the children? Who are the fathers referred to there? Who are the children? The fathers there were the apostolic, denominational Pharisee and Sadducee, juggernaut, scribes and those Pharisees, the religious leaders. Something new was going to come, the entrance of grace. And then John the Baptist was sent to prepare their heart for something that was coming up. The faith that was going to come up later. All those believers, the followers of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist with the Elijah anointing, came to prepare the heart of the Jews for what was coming up. And that was what he did. And when he introduced Christ, he decreased that Christ will increase. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the same thing also, those children now, those apostles, those early apostles, that were children in the days of John the Baptist, they now gave birth to you and me. So who are they to us? They are fathers. So there are going to be some children, children of these apostolic fathers, that Elijah will come to turn our hearts back to the faith of the apostles. That was the ministry of William Marion Braham. And you will not do that because until there is a fall away. Because people will leave the apostolic faith because of what the Antichrist system will be doing with the spirit of error. And before Christ will come, he will return us back to the apostolic faith. So what was the ministry of William Branham? The ministry of William Branham was to bring us back to the faith of the apostles. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the ministry of the apostle. Until you get that, that's the ministry of William Branham, was to bring our faith back to the apostolic doctrines, apostolic faith, back as it was when the church started. Therefore, where is the ministry of the apostle? The ministry of the apostle is in the Bible. So if we are to return to the apostolic faith, what William Branham ministry came to do was not to give us some quotes, but to bring us back to the Bible quotes again. Anything beyond that, you have not understood the ministry of that man. It's to take us out of the denominational errors and bring us back to the apostolic faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, if the apostolic office is no more in existence, then why will William Branham come and tell us go back to the apostolic doctrine? So the apostolic office still exists, but it exists in the Bible. It exists in the Bible. Oh, and I'll tell you why. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen very well. Let me quickly tell you that William Branham did not bring us another religion. William Branham did not come to start a denomination. He did not come to start another group of people. You must understand. And please, listen very well. There is nothing William Branham preached that was new. He has one goal to achieve. The goal he had to achieve was to achieve this, to take you out of the denominational mess and bring you back to the Bible. But for you to bring somebody back to the Bible, you will have to say some things to give the person reason to come back to the Bible. I don't know if you understand me. Whatever therefore he says, whatever he preached, whatever mystery he brought it out so that we will see reason to run away from the denomination. Because he proved to us that the denomination is an antichrist system. That is the reason why he brought us the revelation of the seals. That is why he brought us the revelation of the serpent seed. That is why he brought us the revelation of the anointed ones at the end time. He made us to understand that you can have the anointing, but you may not have the Holy Ghost. It's a mystery. To make us understand and not be taken away by what is happening in the Pentecostal denomination, the anointing that is going on there. Hallelujah. That's why he brought down the seven church ages so that we will know that the time is too short for us to play religion. So that you make your calling and election sure. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And please, for your information, I still repeat, there is nothing new that William Branham brought. Take it. Everyone, even these mysteries, they had been on before. One way or the other, some other people have caught a flash of that revelation and preached them. And I can tell you some, even including the revelation of the seals that we brag so much about. I have seen it, I have read it. In the 18th century, there is a man by the name of Clarence Larkins. He taught on these same seals, and William Branham quoted extensively from the man's teaching in his own revelation of these same seven seals. So, don't begin to make it look as if nobody else knew about those seals until William Branham came. Go to the internet, type Clarence Larkins, and you will see it there. And there are even some paragraphs there that William Branham literally lifted from these teachings. The serpent seed was preached. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. All these denominations, when it was time for the restoration of the church, God himself started the process of restoration using the man Martin Luther. And all that Martin Luther taught, like we have taught several times here, is the doctrine of justification. That opened the door for Protestantism to begin. People began to protest the Catholic system because their eyes of understanding were now opening. And from then on, God began to raise men here and here that picked different scriptures, different doctrines that were buried during the 1,000 years of the Dark Ages. And began to come up with them. But then each group ran off with their own, denying the other light. And so we have the Lutherans, who were followers of Martin Luther. And then we have the Baptists, who believed that baptism must be by immersion. They were protesting Catholicism. Not sprinkling, not divine baptism. That is why they call them Baptists. And we have the Presbyterians. They believe in eternal security. They taught it, but they would deny others. We have the Wesleyans, who believed in holiness. All this baptism in the name of Jesus, it's not William Branham that brought it. There is a group called Oneness that believe that Jesus is the Almighty God. And they all existed long before William Branham was born. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the William Branham, the gifts of the Holy Ghost did not start with William Branham. He started again in the restoration in the Azusa Street revival. And the revival fires were going on. And so, what? Tell me what is it that never existed before William Branham comes. So, what is the ministry of William Branham? What he did was, he came and told the Baptists, and told the Presbyterians, and told the Wesleyans, the Lutherans, the Oneness, and every one of them that ran off. He said, all you people ran off with is in the Bible, it's scriptural. But you cannot hold one and deny the other. The balanced diet, therefore, is to bring eternal security, predestination, water baptism, oneness together, bring it together, and it will give you a perfect apostolic doctrine. Oh, glory be to God. That was his ministry. So, stop using William Branham's quote and his language, that he was saying things that he did not mean to establish as doctrine. Things that he was saying to give you reason to come back to the Bible and use it and run off with it. And before you know what, you run off the Bible. It will not be your portion in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Including those gifts, the Pentecost, and William Branham had to tell them that you say speaking in tongues is the evidence. He said, no, it's not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And all of them, one by one, all of them, and brought it together, and then told us that, see the reason why you went into denomination, it was error that took you so far, come back to the Bible Christianity. And he said it so hard, and so that you will know it is a move of God. God himself decided to vindicate that man, so that you cannot dispute whatever he's saying. In everything, he didn't make any claim concerning himself. And he said it, he said, watch it, the evidence that this is a move of God. He said that this thing that he is doing, he said, watch it, it will never be denominated. That is, you will never have headquarters anywhere and have branches anywhere. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Take note also that as far as this Bible is concerned, from the book of Acts to the book of Jude, they are epistles to churches. And nothing is written there that needs any further interpretation. Nothing is written from the book of Acts to the book of Jude, just before Revelation. Jude, the last book there. They were writing them all to churches and brethren, explaining how they should live. And they did not write them in symbols. Therefore, the prophet William Branham, we don't need him to ask him, what did Jude mean when he said, contend for the faith? A man or a woman praying, a woman praying with her head uncovered, dishonoring prophet Abraham. What does it mean? What is the mystery there? There is no mystery there. Cover, don't cover. What do you want again? The only aspect that William Branham helped to bring it out, and that is the only place, is concerning the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It was William Branham that brought it up to let us know that it is in three stages. But Apostle Paul jammed everything in one verse. So he came and explained it to us. Apart from that, nothing more. I have tried to search. If you see any, please let me know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because William Branham used that to tell us that the rapture will be in three phases. And we are now in the first phase. The shout. And then the voice of the archangel is the archangel of Revelation chapter 10. And then the trump of God is the voice of Christ himself, the voice of resurrection. Moses and Luke, come forth. That is how we are. Three stages. And they will take place in three different periods. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord.